Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the 880 Weekly Rewind, a look at the top stories of the week, digging into important issues in our community with Linda Lopez.
Well, at the beginning of the coronavirus shutdown, sports fans had one question: when and how would their favorite sports be coming back? Well, some leagues like the NBA and NHL made location-specific plans, but not the MLB. And now Major League Baseball is facing major problems. Following all of this for us all week is WCBS reporter Steve Burns.
Steve, the baseball schedule was supposed to be fully underway by now, but it seems like every day, even today, those plans are hitting a snag.
Right. It's amazing to see, you know, all the protocols, all the rules that MLB put in place around testing and contact tracing and who can do what, where and when. They had this mountain of rules set up. Within the first week, those rules were all defeated by the coronavirus. The big news, of course, was what happened with the Miami Marlins. 20 total people tested positive in the organization. 18 of those were players.
You know, you travel all the time. You know, it started with this road trip. You're traveling, you're in planes, you're in buses, you're in different hotels. It's the risk that we take. It's fair to say that guys are concerned.
Their schedule has been completely upended. It's been postponed for most of the week and will be through Sunday at least. Those positive personnel have been quarantined in Philadelphia, where they last played. Got news today that those infected people may actually be getting bussed from Philly back down to Miami. And then you have the ripple effect from that huge news. You know, you have questions about the last team the Marlins played, which was Philadelphia. They've had two positive tests, and teams have opted not to play Philadelphia, and their schedule has been postponed. And then we got news today of a couple more positive tests on the St. Louis Cardinals. Their game against Milwaukee has been postponed. And of course, you have the questions about, well, where have the Cardinals been? They were in Minnesota, so the Twins are getting tested, but they are still playing. They're playing the Cleveland Indians. So you have all these questions about, you know, when we have a positive test, what's the protocol? There is a risk of sending out possibly infected players and still playing games, like what could be happening in Minnesota and with the Cleveland Indians tonight. And given that test results take around 36 hours to come back, there's this lag time and this danger that we could be unknowingly spreading the virus as MLB continues play.
Sure. And if we look at it in terms of our area, we know the Yankees are set to play the Phillies. But in the days between now and when that happens, that could even change. That's the sort of situation that the MLB is in.
Right. The MLB had to improvise a schedule, essentially. The Yankees weren't supposed to play the Orioles this past week, but they did play each other just because the two teams that they were supposed to play had to be quarantined. So it's really remarkable to see this huge behemoth of an organization in Major League Baseball now having to improvise its schedule and figure things out on the fly. But that's where we are with coronavirus in 2020.
What are you hearing from the players, the coaches, the teams about what's going on this week?
You know, it's genuine concern, and it's rare to see these superstar players, managers, usually, you know, stoic sports figures, showing these very human emotions and saying, you know, I'm very worried. I think the one that resonated most was the Nationals manager, Davey Martinez, who had a heart condition, missed a few games last year because of it. So he's at risk.
You know, I got friends on that Miami team, and it really stinks. Man, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We have struggles. These guys have families. I have family. We think about that stuff.
And the Nationals actually voted as a team not to go down to Miami and play the Marlins because of their outbreak. So these very human emotions and human concerns that come up, and you realize that these players are in fact human, regardless of how much money they're being paid. And you see a superstar player like Mike Trout have to make a decision early in the season. Do I want to play, which could potentially put me at risk when my wife is pregnant with their first child? And it's these very on the ground human emotions that are at play here among these sports figures that we hold so high.
And you mentioned that there are lots of protocols that the MLB put into place before they started the season. Now, other leagues, they decided to go other ways with the safety precautions they were going to take. What are the other leagues doing?
Yeah, NBA is coming back this week. NHL is coming back this weekend. And they're both playing in bubbles. The NBA bubble is in Orlando. And they've had pretty good success so far. No positive tests since mid-July. NHL, same story. They have two bubbles, one for the Eastern Conference in Toronto. The Western Conference is in Edmonton, and they've also had no positive tests since mid-July. But, you know, that comes with a cost around how much these players are free to move and interact and socialize. We've seen, you know, these players have to stay in a hotel room alone. They're not allowed to interact. They're FaceTiming with their families and their kids. I mean, there is a cost to this when you want to bring sports back in this kind of environment.
And as you mentioned, when we look at those other leagues, the good news is that the COVID-19 positive test numbers have been kept down. So when we look at Major League Baseball, do we need to look at it as a COVID cautionary tale, especially for what sports needs to look at going forward?
It certainly is a cautionary tale. I mean, when you see that other leagues aren't having nearly the same amount of problems as Major League Baseball, you just wonder how long can MLB keep this up when you have schedules that are getting upended, you know, day after day with less than 24 hours notice. A lot of the reason for bringing MLB back had to do with money. It had to do with TV contracts, in-stadium ad revenue. And you just wonder how long can this keep going on and putting people at risk when the primary driver here is making rich people richer.
Sure, and a cautionary tale, not just for sports and the sports players, but for other things that we look at too, workplaces, schools, lots of things going forward. That's our Steve Burns, who's been keeping an eye on the story for us all week. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you, Linda.
Continuing on our conversation about the concerns now arising around Major League Baseball's COVID-19 outbreak early in this 2020 season, I spoke with Northwell Health infectious disease doctor David Hirschwerk. I asked him if the problems that plague Major League Baseball might influence schools and workplaces and how they reopen.
I think so. I think it. One of the lessons I think that we learned is that when you try to open things up, particularly in areas of the country that are experiencing such high levels of illness, that there's a great risk for that to be really stymied by what happened to the Marlins. I think it's not a surprise that if you're going to pick any team that would have been affected, it would be the team that is in the part of the country that is currently experiencing such high levels of illness. And I think that type of experience could very well occur with other businesses or schools if they are trying to open in parts of the country where they're also experiencing high levels of illness.
So what can the MLB's experience tell us about handling the outbreaks in schools, in camps, and elsewhere?
I think the experience really tells us that we should not be trying to open up businesses or schools that are in the midst of incredibly high levels of illness. I mean, for example, parts of Florida currently have a higher rate of illness per capita than in just about any part of the world. So to think that you could open up schools or businesses widely in an area that's experiencing that and not have a similar result, I think is just not realistic. So I think that before anything could open up successfully, you have to look around in the community where the business or school is, understand the epidemiology in that area, and if it's not a good one where you have trending downward cases over a two-week period, where you have low rates of illness overall and other factors, unless those things are in place, then the business or school really should not be opening.
Well, what about here in New York, where the trends are thought to be good, where we're thought to have a good handle on how to handle the outbreaks? And we saw this week that there was a small cluster in Westchester at a summer school program that we learned about. So is this something similar, something we should be concerned about?
I think the New York area is in very good shape right now, that where the number of cases is low enough and the percent of tests that are turning positive is low enough that you can start to open up schools and businesses as they have been. I think that so far the openings have been very measured and it has been successful. Now, all of that could change if our rates go up, and then there needs to be some thoughts as to whether we need to slow things down. But currently, we're in a position where we can start to open things up more and have success. I think that it should be recognized that as things open up, there are going to be cases that occur. And so long as there's the ability to track those, to isolate the individuals that are infected, to trace their contacts and quarantine those people, that's going to be the way that we'll live with this virus until we get to the point where there is a vaccine and we're at a different stage. But our area of the country is a very different area than, let's say, Arizona, Texas, or Florida, where the rates are so high now that to open up and then to consider being able to track exposed people is just unrealistic because there are so many people to track.
My last question will be, as the parent of a school student here in the New York area, can we feel confident about sending our kids back to school in the fall, just even part-time?
Yeah, so I think it becomes a very complicated issue. I think right now there are very good reasons and important reasons why we all would want schools to be open. And I think, again, that the New York area right now at this moment with low rates, so long as there are good plans in place, which include physical distancing, having masks worn consistently, having the ability to trace contacts. If all of those things can occur while we have low rates, then I think it can be successful. It will not mean that it's perfect. There are going to be small outbreaks that will occur, but hopefully those can be squashed quickly and isolated and contained. But we are going to have to live with this virus for quite some time. And starting schools in some type of a hybrid fashion or an alternating fashion in the New York area is something that I think can be successful.
That's Dr. David Hirschwerk. He's the Northwell Health Infectious Disease Specialist.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.